Hello, 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 and thank you for tuning in to The Selling Out Show, where we screw up life at our leisure for your listening pleasure. We have a great one planned for you today because you know what? We're going on holiday. Yes, indeed. This is an episode about vacations. I am one of your hosts, David Schultzen, over here. By my side, he has not left yet on his luxurious yacht to places unknown. Nate Gorzinski. Nate, how are you, my friend?
I'm great. I'm not going on a yacht, but I am about 4 or 5 days away from a vacation as we record this.
Ah, yes.
So I'm pretty psyched. I do my kind of, it's become almost an annual thing where I go visit my brother who lives in Vail, Colorado, and, or now he actually lives just outside. So he's kind of in between two mountains, world-class mountains that I get to go visit. So I'm kind of spoiled in that way, but this year I'm a little nervous because I usually ski, you know. I've been skiing since I was like 12 years old, but I am planning on learning snowboarding for the first time. So I plan on falling on my ass a lot.
Right,
but
on. Yeah. It's good to know too. Your brother lives in the motorboat capital between the two mountains there, right?
Right.
He just shifts it. Yeah. And then you've been skiing since you were nothing more than a zygote. Which is also great information, you privileged son of a bitch.
Listen, some people, I've seen little ass kids that are like 3 feet tall on skis with no fear. I didn't start until I was in like seventh grade. So I'm not one of those kids, but it is pretty fun. I see why people do it. It's just very kids, fucking expensive.
They were given like a lacrosse. What do they call the lacrosse thing that you catch the ball in? What is that called?
A lacrosse ball catcher thing?
Yeah, the ball catcher. You know, the thing that you
catch. That's what they call it.
Is it really what it's called? The official title for it? But, you know, whatever. The cane, whatever. If I say whatever one more time, feel free to shock me in my nether regions. But the point being is, you know, they're given that. Well, I wasn't born with a silver spoon. I probably, my first, award from a figure in my life that was a man was like a Frisbee from Wham-O.
Ooh.
So the nice. Soul, you know, I can ski, but I can't read yet. It's, it's to me the ultimate sign of privilege.
Sure. Yeah. It's definitely a certain demographic you see on the mountain. You know, I'm not going to lie.
The word I was looking for was stick, by the way.
Oh, <that's laughs> lacrosse stick.
That's a tough one. I didn't even Google that. It was just like in my inner monologue where inside my head was like, Dave, it's a fucking stick, you moron. So he came forward and saved me.
But you anyway, weren't born with a silver lacrosse stick in your mouth.
No. Okay. I got the room for it. I probably could handle it. I'm kidding. I have a terrible gag reflex. I don't think
good to know.
Yeah, that probably wouldn't work very well. But that's good, man. Vacations are great. You're going to go and, you know, the thing about you, though, you're going somewhere cold.
Yeah.
You live somewhere cold.
Yeah, I know. My girlfriend gives me shit about it all the time. She's like, you know, you hate the winter, you get like seasonal depression, all this shit. And then right as it's getting warm, because it's always around this time of year, I go to Colorado for a little more snow. But I always counter that with like, it's a totally different thing. First of all, a lot of the days that I'm out on the mountain, on these, the last days the mountain's open, I'm like literally in a t-shirt or a tank top on the mountain. So it's like, you can get a tan. So it's not that bad. It's not that cold. And also, I don't know. It's different. The winter's a lot different when you're doing something fun. Like, honest to God, my brother hated the winter too, and he moved out there, and he said it's a totally different thing than New England winters. So, anyway, I enjoy it.
Tell your significant other. Well, yeah, I do hate the cold, as a matter of fact. I can't stand it. But the reason why I vacation somewhere cold is, and I can tolerate it and enjoy it, is the company.
Yeah, she'd love that.
Yeah, see how far that gets you. I can tell you.
It's because I get away for a while, huh?
Yeah. So, anyway.
Anyway, how are you, Dave?
We both said anyway at the same time. Like, let's run away from that as fast as humanly possible, that comment. Let's escape together. I am okay. Thank you for asking. Nice segue there, Nathan.
I'm a pro.
You are a pro. You're going on vacation. I just came back from a vacation to beautiful San Antonio, Texas, which parallels your thing because I live in Texas. So I just, I, you know, but Texas is so big. It's not like we have like a, well, maybe in some cases, but like different climates is that big and different time zones. It's all the same. But yeah, so San Antonio, I got a thing I want to talk to you about this though.
Okay.
Because anybody out there, I think over the age, actually, maybe even it doesn't even matter what age you are anymore because it still exists. Hence why I'm going to talk about it. But we all know then, let's preface it that way. Have you ever been to like a Bass Pro Shops or somewhere where they say, hey, we got these discount cheapo vacations. All you got to do is attend a 2-hour seminar.
I've never done it as an adult. I remember doing it as a kid, like my parents doing
it.
And I, yeah.
Well, but, I avoid these cocksuckers like the plague. Anytime I'm out and someone's like, hey, I got a deal that's too good to be true. That's because it is. Thanks, but no thanks. I'm not interested. You're not getting my name, my information, or nothing. Well, unfortunately, along comes my wife. And she was in one of those outdoor world places, and they snookered her raw, which I wish I could do more often, but I got to do that by appointment. but yeah, so she signed up for this thing and it was like $150, but they're going to put you up in this fancy schmancy resort. And she wasn't even told there's a seminar involved. She didn't know there was any, you know, catch.
She just thought she was signing up for like a free vacation.
Cheap vacation. Oh, she did have to pay $150, but it was like 3 nights in a hotel and you know, whatever. So she comes home, tells me about it. I'm like, oh, you got to be fucking kidding me. I'm like, well, there's a loss. There goes $150 right down the goddamn drain.
Yeah.
And then she's like, no, we're going to do it. I'm like, what? No, I don't want to do it. No way. I ain't doing that. I'm not sitting through this fucking shit. So it's been like a year. And because of COVID and everything, she was able to postpone it and what have you. But recently they were like, hey, if you don't use this, you lose it. And you're $150. For me, yet again, that was fine. I had no problem with that. She would not let this stand. Yeah. So she's like, we are going, take a few days off from work. And I'm like, you know what? Screw it. What's the worst that can happen? Because I'm a no guy. I say no to everything. Anything positive that comes my way in life, I can say no like nobody's business. So
yeah,
how hard
you got no problem. Yeah, you got no problem like sticking up for yourself and maybe being kind of a dick if you need to.
Not even that. Just no in general. Like, hey, do you want to live a nice, healthy existence with anything positive or good gains that may make you feel more successful or happy? No. No, I do not. I like being miserable. I'm a terrible person, and that's all I'm ever going to be.
Great life skills.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying, though, dude. So if I can do that with myself, I can easily tell a stranger no. Right? I don't want to buy nothing. Get the fuck away from me, dude.
Yeah, man.
So, all right. So where am I going with this? We end up going on this little thing. We show up. They're like, hey, we don't have any room in this fancy resort we have here that we're trying to eventually sell you. So we're going to put you up in this little 3-star ditty down the way.
What? So you couldn't even really stay and get a feel for the place that you were supposed to, like that you signed up for?
Yeah. And this, just so everybody knows, too, I want to get this out of the way. They hate it. Don't call it a timeshare. Don't do this. They will lose their minds because they sell vacation experiences. And the company, you may have heard of them, anybody who's already gone through this, they're called Blue Green.
Okay.
I'm sure there's a collective sigh from the listeners like, oh, Dave, for real? You did that too? Are you fucking for real, dude? I would have warned you. Don't do this. So anyway, I'm a 3-star kind of guy. No big deal. I'll go stay at the Drury Inn, you know, which is hard to say. It's hard to come out of your mouth.
Drury.
They probably should have thought that out a little better. But hey, it was a nice enough hotel, very friendly staff. I'm happy. Tomorrow, we're going to attend the fucking seminar, which is the one thing. When that's hanging over your head, it's a little worrisome. Because you're like, this is nice. We're glad to be out. We're doing something as a family. But tomorrow, I got to fucking do this against my will.
Yeah, you're like dreading it. You have this sense of like impending boredom coming.
Well, I'm fucking Googling the hotel. I'm checking everything out. I'm like, well, how much does it cost to stay here at night? So if we don't go, What's the big deal? I'll just fucking pay for it anyway, right?
Wow.
So they say, oh, well, you didn't follow the terms of your contract to come to our little fucking shindig, so now everything's on you. Okay, no big deal. It's a fucking $120 a night hotel. Ha ha ha. Fuck you, you know? But my wife's like, no, we're going to go.
Yeah.
So let me cut to the chase. We go. You meet a representative. They're very friendly. Very warm, jovial, happy people. Want to know a little bit about you. You know, kind of snuggle up next to you a little bit. Whisper sweet nothings into your ear. A lot of this is very relatable to sex, as you will find out later.
Okay.
Then they leave you in this room where a guy comes out and gives you like a presentation. A little PowerPoint. Some testimonials, what have you, some little interaction with the crowd, yet again, trying to get you, you know, all loose and limber, happy to be there, and try to say that, you know, memories are everything. Nay, everything.
Yeah.
Life is not worth living unless you took a picture of it and posted it on Instagram. Don't forget that now. All right, so we sit through that, and at the end of it, I'm like, oh, here we go. I'm going to get my sales pitch now. It's going to be coming to me. I got to fucking stand strong. And we meet the guy again. His name was Javier.
Yeah.
I will expose this man. Expose you, Javier. And we sit down.
The jig is up, Javier.
The jig is up, Javier. Yeah. And at first he's like, all right, well, I'm going to get you guys in the great little vacation package today. You're going to get all these points. Boom, 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 boom. And I'm like, whoa, slow your fucking roll there, guy. I am not interested one bit. How come? Why not? Well, to be perfectly honest with you, Javi, we only vacation a couple times a year. No, Dave. That's the best thing is that if you don't use your points, they roll over. You can stay anywhere in the world. I haven't even mentioned yet that our son was with us, my delightful 9-year-old, who is gleefully just playing his Nintendo Switch in the corner. And so the sales guy, he looks at my son and goes, hey, wouldn't you like your dad to take you to Disneyland?
No, you didn't get your son involved.
Oh, boy, did he ever. He's trying to weaponize my kid, my friend.
Oh, man. That's dirty pool.
Oh, it was very dirty pool. And to the point where I, like, leaned forward to engage this guy. And my wife had to grab my knee because she knew it was, like, my trigger for me to calm down. Like, settle down there, pony.
She pulled your leash.
She did. She did, because I was going to say, hey, cocksucker, what the fuck do you think you're doing? Don't talk to my kid about, oh, don't you want your dad to take you to Disneyland, the world, whatever the fuck it is. Go see the mouse. Wow, go see the fucking mouse. And so I'm like, no, dude, just no. Everything he was saying, no. His tactics changed to bad cop immediately. Just like, hey, well, then if you don't care about your family,
oh, no.
If you don't care about the memories you make, then, you know, whatever, that suits you just fine. We would really not want to partner with you because we're all about making happy families. And if you don't want to be a happy family, and I'm like, guy, it has nothing to do with that. I'm not interested in paying $20,000 for a fucking lifetime vacation package. To which they keep trying to reassure you too. Like, oh, well, here's the best part is that vacations always increase in cost every year. With us, it always is the same and we're never going anywhere. Oh, ever. It's like, whatever, dude. Like, you guys are fucking immortal. Blue-green vacations are immortal. There's going to be a nuclear holocaust and fucking all is going to be left is Javier and fucking cockroaches. Trying to sell them a fucking trip to fucking Waikiki. But, So he's trying to do his fucking, his dirty bomb tactics on me and stuff. And he's getting a little fucking personal. I'm not liking it, whatever. But he can tell I'm just not having it. So he slides over a piece of paper. He's like, listen, just get this credit report started and we can go from there. And I'm like, dude, no, I'm not signing this. I'm like, you're not going to ding my fucking credit and fucking, and, you know, look into my private financial matters into something I have no interest in buying.
Yeah, they want to see if you qualify for something you don't even want in the first place.
Exactly. I'm like, no, get the, and I slid the paper back to him. I'm like, dude, no, I'm just trying to get the fuck out of there at this point, right? Yeah. Because that's anybody's plan. They just want to say, no, you're released. You are free. Go about your vacation now in peace. But he's not done. He calls in a ringer, a bald guy with a nice jacket on, comes strolling on over.
No, he didn't bring the bald guy.
He did. He brought the bald guy. He brought Telly Savalas to the party, man.
Oh, shit.
Telly sits down. And, you know, he's cool guy, right? He's like, hey, what's going on, guys? I hear that you're not interested in buying one of our fantastic vacation, lifetime of a memory or memories of a lifetime package and this and that. I look at the guy. I notice he's got fucking dice tattooed on his wrist.
They sent like a mafioso fucking collector.
Well, his face was too soft for that. You know what I mean? He didn't look like he'd really been in any mafioso activity, but he probably thinks he's a one slick customer. He's probably the guy who wanted to like excel in the world poker tour, that kind of thing.
Guy's got a tribal tattoo above the dice somewhere.
Maybe it could have been. I couldn't see that far up his forearm. Yeah. But so he's trying to do the good cop on us, and I'm like, nope, sorry, not interested, man. And he's like, all right, well, there's one last thing you guys got to do before you go. We're gonna take a tour of the property. I'm like, oh, you mean the one that we didn't get a chance to stay at because you promised it to us and we ended up staying somewhere else?
That I have no interest in at all anyway.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. But yeah. He's like, it's mandatory. You got to do it. Okay, so we go up to this. And it's fancy, this room. It's all like whatever. Sure. My wife and kid are looking around. Oh, yeah, that's nice, whatever. And I'm just standing in the doorway. And fucking Javier is like, what's the matter? You don't want to look around? I'm like, no, dude, I'm not interested, man. I've seen a toilet before. No, thank you. And he looks at me, he goes, Dave, what's up, man? You got problems trusting people? You got trust issues? And I'm like, you got to be fucking, now he's Dr. Phil. What is happening to me? What is going on here? I just want to fucking go see the fucking Alamo. All right. That's all I want to do.
This has turned into like a whole sociology experiment.
Oh,
like,
my God.
You know,
on the elevator, he's like asking how much I make a year. I'm like, I'm not telling you, guy. I don't know how else I can do anything besides just choking him out. You know what I mean? Like, to make him stop talking.
Yeah.
And I felt
They hire these people. They must be like ex-cops. They're used to like interrogating, trying to get information out of people, just needling people until they fucking cave. You know, that's...
Well, much like the dough-faced ringer, I don't think Javier was much of a brawler. His hands were too well-kept.
Manicured.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
So we get back down, the ringer's there, and he's like, okay, now you've seen that. Here is that credit report for you to sign or inquiry. And I'm like, nope. There's nothing you can do, nothing you can say that will make me sign this fucking paper today or make me interested in your services at all. I'm like, this experience has been terrible. I'm done. Yeah. Whatever else is mandatory, get it over with. I want to get out of here. And he's like, well, nope, you're done. Have a nice day. And then we left and went and saw the Alamo, which kind of sucked.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Do you remember it?
Yeah. Yeah. Good. I remember the Alamo.
Yeah, I was told you're supposed to.
Do you want a tip?
What's that?
About seeing the Alamo?
Yeah.
Don't go inside. Don't even bother.
What about the basement? Should we go to the basement?
There is no basement, sadly. And I'm sure so many people must say that. I mean, I said it to my wife at least like 80 times. I was like, I can't wait to see the basement. Ha, 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 ha. Yeah. No. No, it's just when you go in, there's nothing. They walk you around, and it's like one room. It's like, oh, there's some dead bodies buried underneath here, and there's some flags hanging up there. And now, welcome to our gift shop.
Can we see the dead bodies? Do they let you dig them up? No.
No. But the salt and pepper shakers, shaped in an Alamo holder, will cost you a cool $30.
Damn, man.
Yeah. So anyway, my thing is, if any of you ever go to Bass Pro Shops, wherever. Oh, quickly. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. So bad. I cannot keep my thoughts together.
That's right.
If you were to Google reviews on Blue Green Vacations, you'll see a lot of bad stuff. One of which that Bass Pro Shops actually sued them and won because of their pushy tactics. It was like $40 million lawsuit. I brought this up to Javier. And I'm like, hey, you know, you guys got some terrible reviews. Oh, man, he got fucking, he looked like he just drank some sour milk.
Really?
He's like, bad reviews. Everybody gets bad reviews. Apple gets bad reviews. Buick gets bad reviews. I mean, you were with somebody before your wife, weren't you? I'm sure if we asked your ex-girlfriends about you, you probably wouldn't get the best glowing treatment now, would you?
Wow.
Like, whoa, Javier with the deep cuts, you fucking piece of shit.
Fucking Javier, right?
Yeah, Javier was a fucking... Oh.
Dude, these people, they have like an agreement with Bass Pro Shops? Like enough where Bass was like complaining about them? Or they just randomly happen to hang out there? Like why Bass Pro Shops, I wonder?
Well, from what I gather now, they're like it's like Bass Pro Shops or whoever owns Bass Pro Shops and Outdoor World owns them as well.
I see.
But this lawsuit was, I don't know how many years ago it was, but it wasn't even with the vacation things themselves. It was like the in-store salespeople being pushy.
I see.
And their tactics. So
yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm sure if they looked into Javier's department, they'd have some issues with that too, you know?
Oh, my God. You know, and that's the thing. No matter how tough you think you are, how stern or how, you know, forward you think you can be.
Yeah.
It's like when they weaponize your children against you.
Right.
While you're sitting and you're fucking confined to this little table with them. And it's just like, what scummy fucking people.
Absolutely. Dude, but that's it. That's their whole job. They know they're going to be dealing with people that say no. They offer a deal like that where it's like, show up and you just have to do this little thing. They're not going to make that thing easy. They're not, you know, they're trying to get sales. Like, they're probably losing plenty of money just having everyone stay there, whatever it is, you know, but I tell you, man, like, it's frustrating to deal with. I've never gone to one of those as a grown up, but like I said, as a kid, I remember my folks doing it and I loved staying at whatever hotel it was. I remember they had an indoor pool and an arcade. And that's about all the review I can give it because I was probably 9 or something. But I don't know, as an adult, the only experience I have with something like that would be maybe dealing with police interrogators and like just having them constantly trying every tactic to get you to, you know, confess to something or to let them know something. It just sounds way too familiar for that.
Oh, you know, like try to be nice to you, demean you, like talk down to you, like everything. It was just like it ran the gamut.
It ruined your trip, I suppose.
No, actually, it didn't. Because once you do get out of there, you're like, ha, I am free as a bird.
Yeah, and all you remember is the Alamo anyway.
Yes, will you get off of that, for Christ's sakes? Will you stop about remembering the Alamo? You know, I also went on the Riverwalk. Went on it like it's a ride. It's, you know, you just walk up and down. And it's nice. It's part of history, you know. I went to a comic book shop there. I got myself some comics. I mean, San Antonio is a nice enough town. It was just nice to be away, have a weekend off with the family, and there was an indoor pool.
Nice.
So my kid did some swimming. And yet again, the hotel we stayed at, I couldn't recommend highly enough. They were the friendliest fucking people on the face of the earth, and everything was clean and nice. I would stay there again in a heartbeat, but I would not do it holding hands with blue-green fucking vacation company incorporated, whatever. And I'm curious. I want you to ask your parents how the process was for them, because who knows, maybe one of the main reasons why they say we will be around forever and you will always have blue green is because their employees, those evil, sinister shucksters, are immortal. And Javier tried to sell your parents just like he tried to sell me.
Maybe. It's like vampire Javier.
He can only be beheaded. That's the only way to get rid of these fucking guys, you know?
There can be only one.
Well, here's the other thing, right? Think of it like this. You understand their job must suck. You got people telling you no every day. You must make money off a commission.
Of course.
You're not making a base salary here. You know what I mean? You need to survive.
Yeah.
But the fact that you have to go by this script and use these various methods to try to make money to me, I would just rather fucking flip burgers at McDonald's. I'm sorry. Holy. I don't care how much you make.
Yeah, man, that shit's soul crushing. Like, cause it just, there's automatic bad vibes, man. You're like trying to get someone to do something you know they don't want to do. You're trying to get them to spend money they probably don't have. And, you know, it's just, it causes stress and awkwardness. And I'm the type, man, I hate that awkwardness. Like, being in your position, I commend you for being able to say no and do all this. I know, like, you know, if you don't have the money, you don't have the money. But I'm the type, man, I'm too much of like a people pleaser. Like, that kind of situation makes me just feel awkward. And like, don't get me wrong, with the cops, like, I learned how to get a thick skin with it. So maybe if I use the same tactics I used to use, I could get through that. But I just wouldn't put myself in that position, you know? Like, yeah. I don't know. That's rough that the missus kind of put you in that position. But
well, I mean, she didn't know exactly what was going to happen. And I was like, yeah, you know, I'll be Mr. Tough Guy. And she was actually intrigued, not to like buy it from them, but like in the future. She was like, that's not a bad idea. You pay whatever. You have your vacations every year already pretty much mapped out for you.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, that maybe in a few years, because again, it's like anywhere between, you know, 17 to 20 grand. Me, I'm the kind of person where I'd rather spend that money on, like, yeah, comics or something, which I hate saying out loud because if she heard that, I get in trouble for it. And I have,
but at least you have those things. You have something solid. I know, like, taking a vacation is great. Like, the memories do last, but
do they?
You have, like, a physical thing in your hand that you can reread over and over again with comics, and it's a thing you're passionate about. So I understand your point of view, but
memories are tricky, though, Nate. Like, how many people have specific memories where they could tell you the date, the time, the weather outside? I mean,
Mary Lou Henner.
Oh, okay.
The actress from Taxi, the redheaded actress. She's got that weird condition where she can literally remember everything day to day. Like, you mention a date. Sometimes, like, I've seen interviews with her and other people have that same thing. It's like whatever recall or so, it's called something, like whatever it is. But that condition where you can literally remember every detail of every day and what the weather was and everything. It's like, but I don't know how many, like, are they faking it sometimes? Like, is there someone checking to see, like, if they were right? Like, you know, I remember that day because it was rainy and it was the first day this movie came out and I went to see it and blah, blah, blah.
You make it sound like a curse. It's a condition.
It's a little off topic.
Like, this is terrible.
It might be. It might be. You want to remember every moment, like when you know, whatever, somebody you love died and you remember everything about that moment, like time or a breakup.
Okay. All right. Now you're talking misery. You're right up my alley.
I wear a lot of black, Dave.
You wear a lot of black.
That's right.
But I mean, really, what I was trying to get at is memories. When I think back on my own childhood or even 5 years ago, I remember like little photographs in my mind, right?
Sure.
I don't often see things in moving pictures. Right now, a memory is popping into my head, completely random and weird. I can recall being a teenager and my mom being angry at me for wetting the brush to comb my hair. Okay.
Yeah.
I couldn't tell you when that was, how old I was, what I was wearing, but I can vividly tell you my mom got super pissed and was like, "Don't run my fucking brush underneath the faucet to comb your shitty hair."
Wow.
Yeah.
What was it, like metal is going to rust?
No, I was metal. That was the problem, dude. I was like, metal. Fucking, yeah, am I like a peace sells but who's buying t-shirt? Oh, yeah, I got to comb my hair before school.
Yeah.
But no, seriously, you know, or when I went camping as a kid, I can remember a few little snippets here or there. Yeah. Listen, if you were to ask me, I'd say they were fantastic trips. Nothing bad happened.
Sure.
We made memories, right? But where are those memories? How valuable are those memories? How do we store these memories? They're not going up in the cloud. Well, I mean, unless you're taking photos of them, but I mean, in your head. So what are memories truly worth?
Well, nowadays, with you just mentioned taking a bunch of pictures, with the ease of pictures on cell phones, things like that, you can hold on to memories a lot more now. So I do see that. But dude, I'm the same way. Like as a kid, I have some memories, like you said, snippets of old vacations, whatever, experiences. But a lot of it, yeah, it's just little bits and pieces. And when I was younger, I didn't really want to be in pictures that much, or I never really took pictures. They were kind of a pain in the ass. You get film developed and you this and that. And I don't know. I was just a young kid that didn't want to, like, take the time to stand and be in pictures. And now that I'm older, I see old pictures friends of mine took on whatever they'll upload on Facebook or on whatever. And I'm like, damn, I wish I was in more pictures when I was younger. So I could remember things more because I think they do help. Those images do kind of, you go, oh shit, I remember when we took that. Or I remember. So I don't know. Nowadays I do take a lot of pictures. I go skiing like each year and I'll take a shit ton of pictures. I rewatch like videos my brother took of me skiing on the mountain, like he's riding behind me with a GoPro, and I have those old videos. And dude, it's like, I'll be honest with you. There's certain nights where I'll put, like, they're so high def, those videos, cause it's a GoPro camera, and I'll literally, you know, eat a few mushrooms, sit back with that computer screen right up to my face, like a laptop, and watch those videos. And I feel like I'm on the mountain, man. They're that high def where you like literally feel like you're there.
I was ready to argue with you.
Okay.
I was primed, but now I really can't because what I was gonna spar with you over, you kind of just explained, because I was gonna say to you, like, oh yeah, well now technology, we got photographs on our phones, and I'm like, yeah, but how often do you actually look at those fucking things?
No.
For me personally, rarely ever do I look at photos. What I do is this. I got like the Google photo things on my phone, okay, where it'll be like, this day 7 years ago.
Right.
And I'll scroll through those sometimes, cuz like my son was a baby. And like, oh yeah, I kind of remember that. Oh yeah, yeah, well look at him there. Look at that cute little baby. Oh yeah. But if it was like, look back on 2 years ago, I'm just like, cancel. I don't want to see the shit from 2 years ago. It's still all the same as it is today.
Yeah.
So, you know what I mean? I've got thousands of photos in my computer and my phones and the cloud and everywhere else. And if you ask me, how often do you look at those old photos? I'd be like, well, they're probably going to play on a fucking video screen at my funeral.
Yeah.
You know, that's really the next time they'll be seen. People are different, right?
Yep.
Some people, yep. I know the guy at the presentation, the one who gave the whole spiel.
Yeah.
He gave a story that was supposed to be heartfelt at the end of it about his grandfather and the last time they saw each other. And at one point, you know, the person in me who was raised on comedy, or, you know, or a spoof or parody and things like Mad Magazine, Seinfeld, or even someone who watches Curb Your Enthusiasm is like, yeah, he's full of shit. This fucking guy, you know, he's just trying to sell us something. His last memory with his grandfather wasn't catching a catfish. He's catfishing us. That's what this fucking guy is doing.
Yeah, man. It's just another tactic, you know?
Yeah, but at the same time, he was playing up like the whole thing, how memories are so important. You can't miss them. Don't let them get away from you.
Yeah.
You know,
you're right, but you know, don't get too cynical, Dave. I'm a cynical old bastard sometimes, but you got to, you know, in that case, I think you're probably right. But you know, it's you can soften that kind of sardonic, cynical eye once in a while. I think, man,
really, is there cream for that?
Ointment? There's a salve.
Salve. Yeah, right. I don't know, man. Anyway. But I'll definitely, speaking of making memories, I will remember that Blue Green is a shitty company.
And remember the Alamo.
For a long, long time. But I also wanted to bring something else up, though, since we're talking about vacations.
Okay.
Is vacation movies. Films, yeah. Right? Because I had recently rewatched. I got to point out the fact that I rewatched it because I saw it before I got cred. Okay.
Yeah.
Remember, it's always a rewatch or a reread. You can't just say I'm reading some. Oh, you never read it when it first came out. You're a fucking poser. You're lame.
You were doing it before it was cool.
Yeah. Wait, you're listening to White Zombie? Are you? No, I'm re-listening to White Zombie. I was there. Okay, fucking Thunder Kiss, motherfucker. I was there.
La Sexorcisto.
Yes, La Sexorcisto. I was fucking there. But anyway, Summer Rental.
Yeah, it's on John Candy.
John Candy, yeah. It's on my favorite streamer, as you well know. Oh, I hope you know who my favorite streaming service is, since I never stopped talking about them.
The Hulus.
The Hulu.
Yeah.
Yeah, so... Oh, man.
I didn't realize it was on Hulu.
Yeah, it is. It's on the Hulu. Huh. So if you ever want to go back and look at that, or rewatch, or maybe even just watch it for the first time, you fucking loser.
Be honest.
Yeah, Beyonce. Yeah, so, and I was thinking to myself, because the premise of that film, for those who are uninitiated, is John Candy takes his family on vacation, hijinks ensue.
Right.
Terrible things happen, but, you know, it's all for comedy because, you know, whatever. And then they got to win a regatta. They got to win the race.
These are like tropes now. Like,
yes.
There are multiple Vacations Gone Wrong movies, you know, Vacation, European Vacation, Summer Rental. There's all these. It's kind of like that comedy of errors, you know, the follies that ensue.
Yes.
You're trying to relax on vacation, but it ends up being more stressful. Ooh.
Right.
And we had a ton of them as kids. They probably still make a ton of them.
Oh, but, yeah, absolutely.
But these are classics. But anyway, yeah, and there's even, the regatta thing is even a kind of a trope.
Well,
there were a few movies in the 80s.
Yes, exactly, right. And I love the regatta trope.
Yeah.
I'm going to make a shirt that says regatta trope.
And by regatta, for some of us that don't know, our listeners, I mean, it's a boat race.
Yeah. Is there another term for regatta other than boat race that I was unaware of?
I don't know. Maybe people aren't as privileged as us skiers and
when you're
timeshare aficionados.
Don't call it a timeshare. I didn't even get into that. That fucking pissed them off, man. Oh, yeah. When you're like, I'm not interested in timeshare. Whoa, everybody, slow down.
Okay.
Might as well call their mother a whore. Like, it was serious business. But
back to the regatta.
Okay. Back to the race on water that involves things made of wood. I was thinking to myself, man, imagine if the regatta thing was kind of like if you could translate it to other movies. So I fucking immediately hop on social media and I put on Instagram a picture of Danielson when he's yelling at his mom, the famous scene from Karate Kid, like, ma, I just want to go home. and I put on the caption.
School.
Yeah, right. I got to learn karate. I fucking put like, I got to win the regatta. Because I'm like, imagine if you could just change the plot of a movie by like one line or one aspect of it, like, and do a remix, an 80s remix of these classic movies. We had talked about One Crazy Summer a few episodes back.
Yes.
In a fair amount of detail. And that was another regatta winning, consequence film.
Right. John Cusack, Bobcat Goldthwait, pretty classic.
Yes.
Classic
great. Movie. Yeah. Great yeah. film. So, imagine now if you took away the All Valley Karate Tournament and he's going to beat Johnny in a fucking boat race. Like, how would the movie fare?
It would be pretty similar, I think, because even the characters, like the regatta owners or like the people they're trying to fight, I mean, or race rather, are always that kind of cocky, asshole, jockish, or rich guy character.
Yeah.
Like One Crazy Summer, they were racing against the guy that had the car, whatever it was, a Ferrari or whatever kind of car he had. But Johnny in freaking, what's it called? Karate Kid was sort of that same sort of asshole, I don't know, character. Like,
Yeah. White bread, fucking tough guy, jock.
Yeah.
You name it, sure. And my point, anyway,
80s trope.
Yes. We're gonna trope ourselves to death today. No one liked my post, so obviously none of you motherfuckers are following on Instagram. And if you are, you'd say, yeah, whatever, you moron. But I thought it was brilliant. I really did. Yeah. Like, this amused me. It tickled me.
Yeah, man.
Beyond words, I was like, oh wow, let's do some remixes of these movies. Maybe this will spark a conversation. It went nowhere. But anyway, back to Summer Rental, I guess.
Yes.
He's going to win the regatta. And where was I going with this? I want to get back to it for some reason. What was that for?
Who knows? I think you should take, if you look at the movies One Crazy Summer and Better Off Dead, which is a previous John Cusack movie, they were both John Cusack movies, and they both dealt with him kind of falling in love with someone who was dating the asshole, and in one movie it was a regatta that he's competing in, and the other movie it was like a ski tournament. Coincidentally, we're talking about skiing. How weird!
We could flip flop those too.
Listen, it's 80s fucking. I'm gonna say it again. 80s tropes.
It'd be like that game on Price is Right where you can flip or flop the price.
Yep.
You're like skiing or regatta, karate fighting or whatever.
Mix and match. It's like Mad Libs.
Yes.
80s movies, Mad Libs.
Yeah, and it just came back to me what I wanted to say about Summer Rental.
Okay, good.
There is a scene in that movie that is probably one of the worst overdubs of all time. Where a little girl... Okay, first off, there's... I don't want to spoil anything because you can easily go stream it right now on Hulu. And I definitely want you to go see it. But... Okay. There's a point where there's an Asian guy who doesn't say much in the movie. He's like an assistant to this pirate dude.
Yeah.
But any one of these movies, they got to have like the whole montage scene of them doing something productive, fixing up a boat.
Fixing the boat,
doing training, getting tough, getting swole,
yeah,
whatever, right?
Cool Runnings montage with, yes, with the bobsled.
Yes, yes, exactly. So there's one point, a little girl who plays the daughter of John Candy in the movie has to say something to the mother. And she's like, "Mom, can I play with your coo?" Or something right, like that. And then she must have said it wrong, this little shit. This little terrible actress. Fucking terrible, horrible. Revoke her SAG-AFTRA card or whatever. So there's obviously a grown-up trying to do a kid's voice. "Mommy, can I play with your coo?" And then they cut to the mom. The mom's like, "Sure, okay." And then she goes taking her pictures, which is akin to like Harry and the Hendersons, where the drawings a wife would do.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The pencil drawings. And it's like, it'd be like the aha video.
Yes.
I mean, I keep saying this is like this and that's like that. And this is related to that.
Yeah.
What were you saying now? I was talking over you.
No, I just said these are some deep cuts. These are some deep 80s fucking cuts, man.
Yeah, well, in Summer Rental, the wife keeps taking the fucking... She's got the big, fat, whatever, fit camera. You remember those? Those cameras, Mr. Camera Phone Guy? Shutters.
I don't have one of those.
Yeah.
So big-ass lenses.
I definitely want everybody to watch that movie. And then when they get to that scene, I want them to always think of me.
Okay.
"Mommy,
why don't we petition?
Can I play with your coo?"
We can petition them to fucking take away her SAG card.
No, I want what she got paid. That's what I want. Okay. They could just, you know what, or overdub it with my line that I just said right there.
Yeah, you probably did a better job.
I probably did than the fucking whoever it was. And then, you know, it had to have been like in a rush. It was in the editing room and they tried working with it and they're like, "Oh man, she just couldn't fucking get that line out. Yeah. Can I play with your coo?"
So Yorku is a name, the character's name?
Well, actually, it's the actor.
What?
The actor's name. I think his name was like Harry Yorku or something. And I think they just called him Yorku in the movie because his role was so insignificant. I don't think he even spoke. Oh, wait, maybe he went, "Ha, ha, ha, yeah."
Oh, it was that the 80s Asian character?
Yeah, exactly.
Like Long Duck Dong, that whole thing.
Long Duck Dong will live in infamy.
Right.
Yorku was obviously forgotten. And Yorku, I could be wrong.
Was the Malta meal Long Duck Dong.
He was the Goya Oboya of the Asian 80s actors set. He's an old man, too, so, you know, he's probably long
dead. Oh, yeah. I remember that character. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, you Googling him right now?
I just remembered, now that you're mentioning, I remember those scenes in the movie. Like, I saw that movie before it was cool as well.
Yeah.
And a lot of the memories are fading, but I do remember that.
Should have taken a picture of it. Ah, yes. Yeah.
But it's ironic that the overdubbed line was not from the Asian actor, like in so many movies. It was the kid talking about the Asian.
Well, no, the line was said by the little girl.
That's what I'm saying. Like in a lot of movies, you think of the Asian, like with the overdubbed vocals that don't match the mouth movements.
Yes, yes. Okay, I
get
you now.
Is somebody she was a white girl,
yeah,
if I remember. Yeah. And she's saying a line and it had to be overdubbed. So it's kind of strange. They pulled the old flip flop.
They did this flipped and flopped.
But
that's the thing, though, when they're in there like, "Oh, what are we going to do? Can we cut this from the movie?" I mean, they really could have.
Yeah.
It was very unnecessary.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Filler.
It was, not even anything. But they were like, "No, no, no. Here's what we're going to do. Billy, come here. Can you just say this into the microphone real quick?"
"Yeah, give me, what am I going to read?"
"Can you just say this?"
Yeah, okay. "Mommy, can I play with your coo?"
"No good. Johnny! Johnny, come here. Can you say this?" "What do you want me to say?" "Mommy, can I play with your coo?" "Perfect. Can you bring it down an extra octave?" "Mommy, can I play with your coo?" "Perfect. Put it in the movie." "Put it in the movie. That's all we need. We're done. Bing, bang, boom. Send it off to the fucking theaters. We're good to go." Good to go.
Yeah. Very good.
Yeah. But yeah, so it's definitely not in the whole line of vacation movies. Very not original. None of them are.
Yeah.
But definitely worth a viewing, especially if hate old rich guys who wear ascots.
Right. And sailor caps.
Yeah. Who doesn't hate those sons of bitches?
Right.
Who doesn't?
Yeah.
I mean, come
on. Richard Crenna from Rambo.
Yep.
Yep.
Yep, and he fucking loses his nut because he's an islander. He's a rich islander, and he's in, like, tourists on his island. And this takes place in Florida, just so you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But, I mean,
anyway,
that's all I got to say about vacations. I mean, I could go on and on and on.
Listen, I mean, we've...
On to the crack of dawn, talking about vacation like I'm mowing the lawn, but I won't.
Okay. Well, I'm glad we hashed it all out. Mm. I feel better.
I do have another vacation coming up in June.
Okay.
But that one is not affiliated with any scam artists.
Good. You know, very they say perfect. life is just a series of vacations and you fill the time in between, man.
Well,
I don't know if they say that. I just said it.
You just said it. Yeah. We can put that on the back of the t-shirt I wanted to make earlier. So what do you say we get some of our sponsorship talk out of the way?
Sounds fucking great, man.
You didn't even let me finish. Because you don't know what's happening after that, do you?
I don't. I'm out of the loop.
You are an even worse actor than that little fucking girl who I could just Google her name right now, but I'm not even giving her the credit. No, because you know exactly what's coming up, Nate. You're just trying to play around. Look at us fancy radio types doing our podcast. We're too cool for school. Ha ha ha. Here comes a spontaneous segment that we like to call Nate's Notes. Ha ha ha. My name's on it. Woo woo. But anyway, I do want to thank the partners of our program, NorthlandVapor.com, where you can go to get all of your vaping supplies. But more importantly, they have some great e-liquids that are diketone and artificial sweetener free, which I always mention is very important because I've tried other companies' juices and they pretty much taste like ass. So you definitely want to try NorthlandVapor.com. Also underneath their umbrella, because they got a very wide umbrella. You want to be their best friend when it rains, because they get a lot going on over there at Northland. They have alpinehemp.com, because the CBD revolution has indeed arrived, if you weren't aware, because CBD is a wonderful way of treating all of life's ailments, and they have everything under the sun. But I just realized I was trying to say raining and sun in the same promo piece. I'm conflicting against myself. I'm like my own dark half. Do you know what I mean?
You should take some lessons from Javier and...
Yeah, I should have. I really should have taken something from that guy rather than fucking a boatload of shit.
Intimidate our listeners into buying CBD products.
Yeah, if you don't buy from alpinehemp.com, let me tell you right now, you hate yourself. You hate your family. You hate everyone around you. You're worthless. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding because I use their CBD products for energy and relaxation and what have you. And what I was trying to get to before I kind of just lost myself in the weeds right there is if you want ointments or liniments, is that what you're trying
Who
to
doesn't?
Say? Yeah, okay, there you go. They got them. You want capsules, they got them. Gummies, they got them. As a matter of fact, they have other companies, deathbygummybears.com and wonkyweeds.com for Delta 8. Just everything. But here's the best part, right? Go to either northlandvapor.com or alpinehemp.com and use code SELLINGOUT19 and you will save 19% off your entire order. Boom! Money in your pocket. Save it for vacation.
What a bargain.
What a bargain. I'm not going to pay a lot for this muffler. So, last but not least, we have spunklube.com. Listen up, guys. You don't have it. You got no game. You really don't. And whatever your partner does to tolerate you, God bless them. I mean, really, right down to their very essence, their core, to actually lay down with you in some kind of coitus or any kind of fashion.
Mm.
So make it a little bit enjoyable for them and get some Spunk Lube at spunklube.com. I mean, this is a lube used by film professionals in the adult film industry. Should I just say professionals? Do I need to say film professionals? Unless there's something kinky happening with celluloid.
Right.
Which could be the case.
I don't know. I don't know how specific you need to get. But...
Anyway, all those hot motherfuckers that you're jerking off to, they use this stuff. Okay, remember that. You can check them out at spunklube.com today and thank me later. But without further ado, let's get to the nuts and bolts of this here program and do some Nate's Notes.
Dust off your LPs. It's time for Nate's Notes.
Way back in my sophomore year of high school, there was this kid named Kevin who sat in front of me in English class. He was new to our school that year, and I first noticed him because he would wear band shirts of pretty underground hardcore acts. Back in those days, and in our small town high school, that was pretty rare. One day I decided to try and break the ice. I walked up to him after class, pointed at his shirt, and said, "Hey, cool Converge shirt, man," figuring maybe he'd appreciate talking to someone with similar musical tastes in his new school, where most people presumably had no idea who a band like Converge were. I remember Kevin grunting some kind of response, but it was by no means warm, and he quickly moved on without any further conversation. I thought it was a little rude, but again, the kid was new and maybe he was shy. But any time I tried to say hi in the halls, or even just make eye contact with him, Kevin would scowl or roll his eyes and look away. It turned out he wasn't particularly shy, and he wasn't a douche to everyone. My good friend James mentioned one day that he talked with Kevin pretty often. They had a class or two together, and they would sometimes hang out and talk music, etc. I told James how Kevin always acted pretty dickish toward me, and James revealed that my name had actually come up in their conversations. Turned out, Kevin was what you call a straight-edge kid. Didn't touch booze or drugs, and didn't eat meat or use animal products. I, on the other hand, had a reputation as, if not a burnout, then at least kind of a partier. I smoked weed in the parking lot after school. I smoked cigarettes in the bathrooms during school. Hell, I occasionally dropped acid in the morning before school even started. Apparently, this gangly punk rock teetotaler had no patience for my kind of debauchery, and he talked a good deal of shit about me. The straight edge movement began in the late 70s punk scene, but got its name from the 1981 Minor Threat song, Straight Edge. The excesses of the 70s, exemplified by icons like Sid Vicious and Johnny Thunders, led to a lot of punks rebelling against that kind of self-destruction. I won't go into the whole history of the movement, but it's been a whole scene of its own for decades now. There are bands that preach clean and sober living, others that add veganism and animal rights to the message. I remember a bunch of bands like Shelter and 108 adopting a Krishna conscious identity, and that became sort of an offshoot. In my life, I first really heard of straight edge when I was introduced to the Boston band Slapshot at like age 13. They had a couple straight edge anthems, but I was struck by the lyrics to their song, Chant. "Kill anyone with a beer in his hand, cause if you drink, you're not a man. Straight edge, in your face, you don't belong to the human race." That's the thing about straight edgers. They didn't just abstain from smoking, drinking, and drugs. They were often militantly against those who did partake in those things. I remember kids getting assaulted for smoking cigarettes outside of punk clubs. The band Earth Crisis wrote songs about going out and murdering people for selling drugs, a sentiment echoed on popular shirts that read, "Kill your local drug dealer." That band, Earth Crisis, were a favorite of that kid Kevin I was talking about. I may have even first heard of them because I saw him wearing an Earth Crisis shirt. Ironically, I really enjoy a lot of their music, which is true of a lot of straight edge bands. And Earth Crisis' message was mostly stuff I could get behind in theory. Environmental concerns, animal rights, economic and social justice issues. But like PETA and Greenpeace, their radical spin on these important stances pushed as many people away as they drew in. I'm not a fan of violence, period. And even in my teenage years, I understood things weren't as simple as drug dealers are evil, or you're a better person if you don't eat meat or smoke. Would I have ended up better off if I had gotten sucked into that scene and adopted their point of view in my formative years? Who's to say? I know that most of the problems in my life since then stemmed from addiction to opiates. So maybe that hardline approach would have nipped all that in the bud. But even with that in mind, I still can't get behind the militant straight edge mentality. I have nothing against choosing to remain clean and sober or being vegan. Those are healthy ways to live, and even cut down on the amount of suffering on the planet. But it's that all too human tendency to put things in the tribal us versus them context that keeps me from respecting the straight edge scene. And don't get me wrong, I knew plenty of people who called themselves straight edge and were still cool to others regardless of their personal choices. This isn't an indictment of living drug free. It's just an observation about one more group of people trying to belittle others without even getting to know them. I've known some super nice drug dealers. Many of them are just trying to earn a living, and they're not pushing anything on people that don't ask for it. They're not victimizing people. Sure, I get mad that I spent thousands and thousands of dollars on drugs over the years. I'd even get resentful seeing my heroin dealer show up in a new car, knowing that I probably paid for a good portion of it. But I don't want him dead. I sought him out. He just capitalized on my habit. And to preach killing anyone with a beer in his hand? Really? I understand hyperbole, but I also understand how language perpetuates division and hate. Sure, as I read this, I know it just seems like I'm holding a grudge against some kid in high school. And sure, I don't exactly remember Kevin fondly, but playing in bands and going to shows, I ran into a ton of these anti-narcotic Nazi types. It's more that Kevin was my first encounter with how straight-edge culture could turn open-minded music listeners into closed-minded conservative bigots, simply by creating an insular group and declaring some other group an enemy. It's an old tactic that we see all the time. So, in summation, if you want to live drug-free or abstain from meat or sex or whatever, bully for you. Very proud of you. But we don't need a whole music scene based on it.
Come on, join our tribe. That's a little grunt truck.
That's right.
Out grunt there, people. Those who remember Grunt Truck. And I just say that because when I listen to you talk about straight edge, it just reminds me how we all have this need, this born into us.
Right.
To fit somewhere, to belong, to be a piece of a puzzle.
Sure.
And for them, it just, that happened to be, their thing. Even though, I gotta bring this up, and I'll let you tell the story if you're willing to tell it.
Okay.
But do you remember what I did to a straight edger one time at a show, and they got super pissed at me? Do you remember this?
It sounds familiar. You didn't, like, blow smoke in their face.
No, but I was doing something behind his back.
I remember.
Oh, there was this dude. Remember. Okay. For those who haven't ever tuned into the show before, years and years ago, it seems like 100, but it's more like whatever, 20 or something. Nate used to always play at this venue called the Espresso Bar.
Mm.
And they would have, I think it was one night there was like a straight edge night or something, or a straight edge band was playing.
Yeah, lots of straight edge bands played there.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so because, I was in with you, the other people tolerated me, whatever. And I would always go there fucking super high and fucked up because that's how I, that was my tribe, right? That's how I operated. Yeah.
I was part of it.
There you go. So they're fucking rocking out. And I see one of the dudes, he's got like a shirt. It's like, yeah, no booze, no whatever, clean living motherfucker.
Yeah.
So I'm behind him. I'm just like flipping birds. I'm like, ha ha, And maybe like one of my birds was too enthusiastic. And the wind, that little gush of air, tickled the back of this dude's neck, and he turned around, and he saw me, like, just going, like, fuck you! And, like, he wanted to kill me.
Yeah.
And one of the bouncers there was one of your pals, who's like, no, you leave him alone. Don't fuck with this guy, because I would have gotten killed.
Yeah, man.
But, but he was serious. He wasn't joking. He was like, don't you diss what I believe in, man.
Sure. Well, but that's, it's interesting you say that because in that example, we were kind of being tribal against them, like, and which is what we did. I mean, that's just, like I said, it's part of like humanity. It's just like, we probably mocked them too. But you know, like my main issue, I don't really care if someone's clean. It's that in your face, like you said, the shirt, you know, whatever it said, some like aggressively anti-drug message and like, I don't know. It wasn't one of those kill your local drug dealer shirts, but it was something, you know what I mean? And so, yeah, we kind of probably rebelled against them too.
Yeah,
but...
yeah. He had a tramp stamp of Nancy Reagan that I took offense to.
Yeah, man.
Just but, say no my ass.
But you know, an interesting thing that I didn't really mention in the piece was that you always see straight edgers, they'd always have this big black X on their hands. That was kind of the symbol, was the X on the hands, like the back of the hands. And that is kind of like, I mean, I know people have gotten that tattooed on their hands. And do you know the origin of that? It's interesting because like the hardcore scene, a lot of these bands would play and the younger kids would want to go to the clubs, or even the bands were younger and they were straight edge and the clubs wouldn't let them in. If they were underage to drink, they would let them in, but they'd put a big X on their hand, which meant no drinking. It was kind of just a symbol for the club to see. And then, but then they just adopted that as a symbol. So yeah, you'd always see these dudes walking around with big X's on their hands. And yeah, you know, we knew some people that were straight edge. I had some friends that were, and they were the cooler ones. And I'm probably overreacting to some of it. I know not, it wasn't like, there was constant beef, like the Sharks versus the Jets with the fucking stoners and the hardcore kids. It wasn't like that, but I definitely saw violence because of it. Huh. And again, now as an older person, I see that, yeah, it's tribal thinking. It's, you know, just one more way to feel, like you said, like you're part of something. And that's all well and good. The problem comes when that being part of something is made stronger by like finding an enemy, you know, a common enemy. Yeah. And that's just always the case. You know, there's nothing that brings people together like a common enemy.
True.
So
very true. Right? Whether it's manufactured, fabricated, whatever. But I mean,
right.
Yeah, I get it too. Cause I don't do drugs anymore. I don't party. On that vacation, I had one beer and I was like, whoa, I feel a little funky, a little fresh.
Yeah.
I'm like, can you believe this is the same guy who used to drink like a 30 rack and fucking shots? And I'm like, let's keep going, motherfuckers. And now I'm like, one beer, whoa, I'm good. Yeah. But my thing here is the pre-gaming for a show. Because we were like, hey, you got some jibbers?
Yeah.
You want to smoke some dope? You want to drop some acid? The show is going to start in an hour. And then across town, these guys were like, hey, show's starting in an hour. You got your Sharpie? Fucking A right, I do. Let me see your fist. X.
Yes. Yeah. It's different pregame rituals.
Yeah. And I would be inclined to think if I was straight edge, because I am kind of right now, in you know, unintentionally.
Mm.
My whole thing would be to not show it, to not be like out there, like, hey, look at me, I'm fucking drug free. It's just no, I'm just living life, man. You just naturally assume everybody is drug free, I guess. In general?
Yeah, well, yeah, it depends on how you live, I guess. Like, the funny thing is, I see that movement and, like, it's like a symbol and a group based on not doing something. It's like I'm part of a club that doesn't collect stamps. you know, like, that's our thing. We all don't do something together. Yeah. Like, I don't know. But like I said, it formed in that whole scene where there were these nihilistic punks that were, yeah, killing themselves with drugs and booze and, you know, just self-destruction, putting safety pins through their faces, like whatever it was.
That's how they got their fucking kicks, man. You know, you just brought up a good thing. I imagine there must be a society out there of people against postage raising pigeons.
Mm.
Who are just like, yeah, fuck that, man. Stamps? Yeah. No way. We fly our mail. It's airmail, all right. Ain't that right, fucking kooky-doo? There you go, yeah. Send that letter to mom. Go fly. Yeah, so.
Well, cool, man.
Well, cool,
dude.
Yeah, so I don't know. And what happened to these guys? We got to see how they turned out, right?
I know. I'm curious.
Yeah, because I know, like, some of the people we partied with hardcore back in the day did okay. Some are dead, don't get me wrong, but some of the other ones, so we're at, I don't know, I'm not a mathematician. I can't give you exact odds here or whatever statistics, but I wonder how many straight edge dudes like fucking safety pinned a dude through an eyeball and fucking went to jail.
I knew a good amount of straight edge kids that eventually stopped being straight edge or started smoking weed or whatever. Like sometimes it's just a fad. It's just a thing, a phase, you know, you go through and I don't know. I mean, then there's the militant ones that are like, well, if you even slip up once, you can't call yourself straight edge anymore. like look it up sometime. Like the whole straight edge movement is kind of crazy, and there's a lot of history to it. You know, like I said, there were bands that took the whole thing beyond just drinking and drugging and meat eating. They started a whole Krishna, like Hare Krishna element to it. And you would think that doesn't go. Like you think of the Hare Krishnas as these dudes in robes with bald heads giving out books in airports or whatever, flowers. But no, like these bands wrote some pretty cool music. Some of these bands, the band Shelter, when I was younger, I remember they were this Krishna conscious band, but their music was pretty damn good, man. So a lot of these bands are good if you're into like high energy punk. It's abrasive. It's kind of shouted vocals and stuff, but
wasn't,
I don't know.
Joe Isuzu, Hare Krishna in a movie, Airplane?
Was that him?
The guy from Empty Nest.
David Leisure.
There you go. Yes, David Leisure.
He played Joe Isuzu. Wow, man.
Yeah, and he was also, I think it was the movie Airplane. He played a Hare Krishna.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're right. It's been a while, but man.
I am like, dude, you need your shoes tied? I'm the dude right now, man. I am fucking putting it all together, man. I am fucking linking it, okay?
Linking it, piling it all on.
I do not know what's in my coffee. One group I will never understand is what you mentioned about the celibacy thing. That's lame. So fucking lame. Like,
we got our promise rings on, man.
Yeah, like, what's...
Okay. Keep our virginity.
How long? Like, until you get married? Is that the thing? Like, oh, yeah. Fuck that.
Yeah, man.
It's like not test driving the car. You can't do that.
YOLO, man. You only live once, man. Well, that's experience some shit. That's my point of view. Experience what you can experience while you're here.
Responsibly. Who
knows? Yeah, well, you know, moderation is cool. I tried the whole lack of moderation thing for a long time. So I can say I did it. And, you know, whatever. I'm done with it. You know, hopefully you live through it. And whatever. I'm not straight edge nowadays, but I definitely have toned down and I try not to be... to live addictive patterns anymore if I can avoid them.
Yeah.
But now I go skiing, so I'm going to go do that.
I used to be straight edge, and then I joined Heaven's Gate. So, can't wait to jump on that Hail Bop.
Fucking A, man.
I'm not talking about the Hanson song. No.
Hail Bop.
Hail Bop, yeah. Get neutered, Hail Bop. Boop-a-dap-dip-a-dap-a-doo-dap. Where are my nuts?
Anyway.
That's we're fucking experts. This is what we do when we're done talking about something. So, Anyway,
well, I'm trying to wrap it up. I got to paint a bathroom.
Yeah, you do. You're going to go paint.
Yeah.
This is exciting stuff. Well, you're going to paint a bathroom. Yeah. Wallpaper is out. Paint is in.
Paint is in. And it's a bathroom. So we use a blue tone. What's up with people with bathrooms? It's always like they put like... ocean scenes or shells. And,
I do that.
You know, pictures of fish. Like, it's like, I understand it's a bathroom, so there's water. So maybe that's what ties it. But I just never really understood it. It's like, what, you want to feel like you're pissing in the beach? Or
Well, let me tell you, sir. Good sir. When we moved into where we're living now, I told my wife, I want my bathroom to remind me of Amity Island.
Okay.
Because I love the movie Jaws.
Okay.
No, not like when I was sitting on the toilet, something jumps out and bites me in my fucking bunghole.
Yeah, that's what
I'm doing. Hey, Bruce, that's my sphincter. Teeth off. but my wife was like, okay, well, here's the idea. Let's like get crafty. You know, let's make some stuff. And she like bought like shells, a hot glue gun and shadow boxes and anchors and all this weird shit. And we did. We made a bunch of stuff. And my bathroom looked really cool. And to the theme... I was going for like 3 months, and then like shit just started falling apart.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Like everything we put together was just, it wasn't made to last. So I don't know if it was like the steam from the shower. started to disintegrate the hot glue that were you. Maybe we used cheap hot glue. I don't know. But like all the little decorations. So now the only thing I have in there is like a lighthouse that I didn't make. I bought at like Hobby Lobby, to which we should have just gotten everything at Hobby Lobby to begin with. But I think because, you know, I guess tying everything together, it makes you think you're on vacation when you're in the bathroom.
Yeah. Get away from it all.
Yeah.
You know, while you evacuate your bowels.
Yeah. No better way or time than just, escape reality. Like, life sucks, man. But when I'm in here doing exactly as you just described, I'm thinking I'm in fucking Cancun or Nantucket.
Or Amity Island, like just when you thought it was safe to take a dump.
Yeah, just when you thought. Yeah, I assure you, I assure everybody, the toilet is open. You know, I would love to have like a Mare Von jacket with the. Like,
I think we need a bigger toilet.
Yeah, well, hey. Hey, now. Now you're talking. All right. But yeah, but you're not into. If you could, your ideal bathroom, what would it be?
Yeah. I don't know, look like a cave or an outhouse, something. Just feel like dirty when you're in there. Just fucking, I don't know. That's what I'm into. I'm into filth.
You like make it look like a cave. You like, that's where I can insert my hair plug. Fucking, so I can hibernate and not shit for 6 months. I don't even use my bathroom, okay? I have intestinal fortitude unknown to man as spare DNA. I'm laughing at that way too much. I'm thinking how horrible that would be.
I collect my poop and use it as manure.
Oh my
because
God.
I'm straight edge and vegan.
Oh yeah.
And my poop is biodegradable.
Nothing gets thrown away. Nothing. Oh no. What do you think of the corn?
We replant it. We poop and we plant it.
Oh God. No, but seriously, you'd rather have your bathroom dark like a cave.
No.
What a black.
Yeah, on a goth bathroom.
Yeah.
A goth room.
A goth room?
That'd be great. Put on your black makeup in there.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's leather. Black. Robert Smith is in there.
Yeah.
Here's your airbrush. You want your airbrush to comb your hair? Oh, Robert Smith of The Cure.
It's a lot of hairspray. Yeah. Black. The curtain rod is just like it's chains and like spikes on the curtain.
Yeah, the mirror is just lipstick, like written on there, like fucking woe and regret. Your goth room instead of your bathroom. Yeah. Oh man,
maybe I'm gonna change how I'm painting this bathroom now. I got a bunch of ideas.
Yeah. Don't go putting those in your head.
Mm.
This isn't your bathroom. You're not allowed to fucking freelance or free ball or whatever the hell you want to call it. Spitfire or whatever. I can't say a word.
I'm sorry. But, yeah.
All right. Well, I got my laughs, so I got to go.
Yeah, I got to go too.
You go paint. Right. I'm going to go read some comic books. Got some good ones this week.
We both got work to do.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't consider mine work necessarily. It's mine is much more enjoyable. I can go lay down in my bed. Read some comics and, probably laugh to myself again, thinking about the plug.
All right, dude.
Oh, gosh. I am a terrible human being. Okay, so anyway. See, I just did it again. Look at that. Hey.
Anyway.
Hey.
You can always tell when someone wants to get off the phone. They're like, anyway.
Anyway. I am Dave. I'm getting ahead of myself. I want to thank everybody first for listening before I start introducing myself in the outro. Virtual hugs for all of you. Thank you for taking the time to listen today. We appreciate it. Hopefully we entertained you at least a shred or an iota of the laughs I just had.
This is an outroduction.
Outroduction. Ow, because it's painful. Painful to say goodbye. But my appreciation goes out to you. I am Dave, that is Nate, and this has been The Selling Out Show.
Peace. Wake up, you never-